Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Persecuted for your Christian faith, a concept most Christians in America cannot fully grasp. Yes, we've seen attacks on Christian business owners who refuse to videotape, bake cakes, or provide flowers for so-called same-sex weddings. They face fines and the threat of losing their businesses, and in some cases, even here in Pennsylvania, they have lost their business. Those who take a biblical stand on morality in America are sometimes called names. But what we have faced here, at least to this point, have not risen to the persecution that many of our Christian brothers and sisters face for their belief in Christ. In many countries, to become a Christian can lead to intense persecution and even death. The International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church is November 3rd, and my guest today is Todd Nettleton. He's Chief of Media Relations and Message Integration with Voice of the Martyrs. Thanks, Todd, for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, I'll first start out with what is message integration? I'll start with a hard question.
the theory is that all of us here at VOM are speaking out of the same hymnal, and so that's part of my job, is just helping us make sure that we're all on the same page.
You create the talking points.
Sometimes, yes.
Something like that. In fact, I thought about not leaving that. I thought about taking that out of your description. I thought, no, I'll just ask him what it is.
That's what it is. Okay. The title I'm most proud of is host of Voice of the Martyrs Radio. That's really where I get to help persecuted Christians tell their stories and help American Christians understand what is happening with our persecuted brothers and sisters.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I listened to that on American Family Radio, the station here locally. So that's an excellent program, yes. So what is the overall mission of Voice of the Martyrs? And give us a little bit of background on the organization itself.
Well, Voice of the Martyrs is 52 years old, 52 years old this month. And our founder, Pastor Richard Wormbrand, was himself a persecuted Christian. He spent 14 years in prison in communist Romania, and his wife spent 3 years in prison as well. When they came to the West, they founded VOM to help pastors like them, Christians and pastors who were still in the prisons of behind the Iron Curtain. And so 52 years later, that's what we are still doing, helping Christians who face persecution in hostile and restricted nations. We do that in really what we would say is three ways. One is persecution response, responding directly into situations where Christians have been persecuted, helping to, say, hire a lawyer for a Christian in jail, providing medical care for someone who's been injured in an attack. Those types of things would be persecution response. The second area where we step in and help is Bibles. We provide Bibles to Christians in almost all of the 70 countries where Christians are persecuted. And we believe that every Christian should have access to their own copy of God's Word. And we want to see that happen in our generation, in our lifetimes. We would like to see that happen. So persecution response and Bibles. The third area then is what we call frontline ministry. And that's really helping evangelists and church planters and pastors who are working in those hostile and restricted nations. I like to call them pre-persecuted Christians, mm-hmm. because if they haven't been persecuted yet, it's likely that they will be, mm-hmm. because they're doing gospel work in a hostile or restricted nation. So that's really the heart of VOM's work overseas. And then our work in America is just like this, to tell the stories of persecuted Christians. We do that in media interviews. We do that through our free monthly magazine that we send out to anybody who wants it. And we also do that on Voice of the Martyrs Radio every week.
Yeah, we receive that magazine. It definitely, I mean, as soon as I get it, I sit down sometime during that day to sit down and read it cover to cover. It's a short magazine, but it's very poignant stories of those in countries that, you know, they're being persecuted because of their belief, and it's hard for us to understand you know, where attackers would come in and destroy an entire village where Christians live and kill men, women, and children. It doesn't matter. It's just hard for us to comprehend how anyone could do that to their fellow human beings. And, you know, I've read stats that Christians, that more Christians died in the 20th century than any other time period. Is that accurate?
I think that is accurate. Yeah, okay. We don't get too tied down with too many stats, but that's one we feel very confident about. And, you know, yes, the bad side of that stat is there is a lot of persecution. The good side of that stat is the church is growing. And so there are more Christians in communist countries. There are more Christians in Islamic nations who can face persecution because they are following Christ in those environments. So that's sort of the good news behind that stat is, hey, the church is growing really rapidly.
Yes, and that is very encouraging. And I think that's, personally, I think that's one reason that the church in America is not growing, you know, hardly growing at all, if, you know, maybe slightly, but it's because we're not facing persecution. And, you know, it's hard for us to understand the persecution. You know, many homes are, you know, have two or three Bibles in their homes. So, yeah, but you said Voice of the Martyrs supplies Bibles to these persecuted Christians who, in many cases, or in some cases, they have just a page or a few pages out of the Bible. And if they're caught with that page or two, that in itself could be a death sentence or a prison sentence for them. And that's, again, hard to wrap our heads around that type of situation or living under that kind of a regime. It's hard for us to comprehend because we are so comfortable here in America that we don't, in some cases, I don't know if people want to know what's really going on in other countries because of the persecution of, simply because of belief in Christ. But it's something that we must do. We must step in and pray for the persecuted church to give them assurance that there are folks out here praying for them. And I know you guys are on the front lines, going well beyond praying, but you're actually distributing Bibles and, you know, helping with lawyers and medical help and pastors who are in the field. So, you know, the International Day of Prayer is coming up. I think North Korea is the focal point or the focal point this year. How do you guys come up with which country to concentrate on?
Well, each year we do a video here at Voice of the Martyrs to help churches and Bible study groups and Sunday school classes just kind of know who we're praying for, to put a face on the persecuted church, to put a face on the people that we're praying for on the International Day of Prayer. And so this year, as you say, our focus is on North Korea, and we are telling the story of a man named Pastor Han. Pastor Han was killed in 2016. He is an ethnic Korean, but he was a Chinese citizen. He was actually the pastor of a registered church in China along that North Korea border, and he would reach out and help North Korean refugees as they came across the river into China, and he would, you know, help them get situated, and he would help make sure they had food to eat, and he would also share the gospel with them, and he was able to lead to Christ and disciple somewhere over 1,000 North Koreans over the course of his ministry life, which is an amazing number.
Absolutely.
But because of that effective ministry, the North Korean government hated him, and they knew about him. They were determined to put a stop to him. And in 2016, North Korean agents came across that border from North Korea and murdered Pastor Han, then went back into North Korea where they were promptly honored on national television as heroes of the fatherland, people who had defended the honor of North Korea by killing this pastor. And so that's the story we tell in the video this year as a way of really shining the light and helping keep people to pray effectively for North Korea.
Well, they were honored for killing him, and he was.
They were honored. Yeah, that's exactly it. And they, in a very public way. It wasn't like it was a secret. And again, this happened inside China. So China allows North Korean agents to come across as a way of trying to control what they consider to be illegal migrants. They won't even call the North Koreans refugees.
Wow.
But that's the story, and it is an amazing story, and it is going to inspire a lot of people to pray for North Korea.
Yeah, because North Korea has definitely been in the news a lot this, you know, the last couple of years, actually, with President Trump, you know, trying to do negotiations with the president there. I think that's his official title. But anyway, so yes, it's definitely timely as far as concentrating on North Korea. And you know, as the U.S. government engages with North Korea and other persecuted other countries that persecute Christians, do you know if human rights is ever brought up, religious freedom ever brought up?
You know, that is a great question, and I wish it was brought up more. Mm-hmm. My understanding is it was not brought up in any of the discussions with Kim Jong-un and the leadership of North Korea. The focus was on trade. The focus was on getting rid of nuclear weapons, not on their treatment of Christians. And I think that is often true. There are sort of in the minds of government leaders, there are bigger fish to fry than talking about persecuted Christians. I do know it does come up, though, in some cases, and we have seen that. You know, I think particularly the story of Andrew Brunson, the American pastor. Now, he was an American citizen, so there was certainly more impetus on talking about his case. But his case was raised repeatedly with the government of Turkey. And so there certainly are people in our government that care very deeply about persecuted Christians and do speak out on their behalf. But sometimes it does frustrate us, like the summit with Kim Jong-un, when, hey, this is the first time our two governments are talking for many years.
Oh, yeah.
Let's at least talk about, let's at least bring up the subject of religious freedom. And unfortunately, that did not happen.
Yeah, that is very unfortunate. You know, as we here in America sit and watch or read, you know, the persecution, read about the persecution of Christians, I think Voice of the Martyrs is one of the best ways to be fully or to be more educated on what's going on around the country. And, you know, I just, you know, I love your website and your ministry. It just has a lot of good stuff, good stuff, and sad stories, but it's stories that we here in America need to read and to understand. And you know, as we look around the world, which are the most dangerous countries for Christians to live in?
You know, we've already talked about North Korea, and I think certainly you have to think of North Korea as probably the most restricted, the most closed to the gospel. But there are certainly other countries where it's very dangerous. Frankly, China has become dramatically worse as it relates to religious freedom this year and last year. To be a Christian in northern Nigeria is very dangerous, where there is Boko Haram, where there are Islamists from the Fulani tribe. And so those are maybe two that come immediately to mind. The other one that comes to mind, and really hardly anyone talks about it, very few people could even find it on a map, is the nation of Eritrea, a small nation in Africa. And yet, just heard a report this week that there are 600 Christians in jail in Eritrea, and some of them have been in jail for more than 15 years. They've never had a trial. They've never actually even been charged with any crime, but they are in prison for years and years and years. And so Eritrea is another one that comes immediately to mind as a very dangerous, a very difficult place to be a follower of Christ.
You know, you're saying that has just come to light recently. So, of course, we don't know the answer to this question, but how many other countries out there Christians find themselves in the same type of situation, being thrown in jail and sitting there in jail for years and years and years without charges being filed, without any kind of trial? So, you know, that may not be the only country out there that has that type of situation for Christians. And again, all the more reason to become educated on the persecuted church and to pray for them, you know, in a continual manner. How has Islam proven, has it proven to be a threat to Christians?
it certainly is a persecutor of Christians. And so in the physical sense, yes, it is a threat. Obviously, in the spiritual sense, no, it's not a threat, because the truth wins out. Mm-hmm. And so Islam is a persecutor, though. And interestingly to me, particularly in a lot of Islamic nations, the first line of persecution is not the government. It's your own family members. It's your dad. It's your big brother who says, wait a minute, we are a Christian family, or we are a Muslim family. If you're going to be a Christian, you're not part of our family. You can't be part of our family. I had the chance to interview an ethnic Somali earlier this year. When he became a follower of Christ, his wife's family literally took her away from him. And they said, listen, we gave our daughter to be married to a Muslim. You're not a Muslim anymore, so you can't have her. Mm-hmm. And they literally removed her from his home and said, no, you cannot have our daughter. So oftentimes that is what happens in Islamic nations. The persecution doesn't start with the police, mm-hmm. Or the government or the courts. It starts with your own family coming to try to pressure you to renounce Jesus and return to Islam.
And that would have to be even tougher to withstand the persecution from your government, I would think.
I think it would be the hardest. Yeah. You know, if you think about your own parents mm-hmm. turning their backs on you and yeah. saying, listen, you no longer have a home. I'm not your father anymore. Mm-hmm. You think about the heartbreak that would bring, and I agree with you 100%. I think that would be much worse than having the police come or having the government mm-hmm. persecute you. To have members of your own family just throw you out and reject you. Yeah. Would be heartbreaking.
Absolutely, it would. So what tools does Voice of the Martyrs offer to help us encourage Christians around the world, and what tools do you have that we can use to on the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church?
We have lots of tools, and I would encourage people, go to persecution.com. That is the Voice of the Martyrs website, persecution.com. Right on the top of the page, there is a link to all of our resources for the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. That includes the video that we've been talking about, focusing on persecution in North Korea. It also includes other resources. We've got PowerPoint slides with particular prayer requests so that you can pray specifically on IDOP Sunday. There's a church bulletin insert that you can print out and insert in your bulletin, again, to help people pray specifically on that International Day of Prayer. And then there are resources throughout the year. We've got an app for your phone called Pray Today that brings up a new prayer request every day of the year so that you can pray not just once a year on the first Sunday in November, but pray all year long for our persecuted brothers and sisters.
And that's the app is Pray Today.
It's called Pray Today, yeah, and it's available both for Apple and for Android phones.
Okay, I'll have to check into that for sure. When you interview, persecuted Christians, what is one of their first requests as far as when you're interviewing them and you ask them, what do you need? What's the usual response?
You know, it ties right directly into the International Day of Prayer because that is their first request. Pray for us. The challenging thing, maybe the convicting thing for me, is they are not asking, pray that we won't suffer anymore or pray that our persecution will stop. What they are asking is, hey, will you pray that we'll be faithful to Christ in spite of the persecution, in spite of the suffering? So that is their first request, that we pray for them. And that, frankly, that's how the International Day of Prayer started, was in answer to the request of Christians facing persecution around the world, that we pray for them.
Wow. Wow. So do you think that here in America we should pray for persecution? I mean, you know, because the church is, in my view, becoming kind of stagnant here in America. Do you think a little persecution would help us grow?
You know, there are certainly blessings to be found in persecution, and I talk about this at our VOM Advanced conferences around the country. I don't pray for persecution. I think, frankly, I'm a little scared of it. And so what I do think is that American Christians should prepare for persecution. Now, I like to tell people, if we're ready and persecution starts tomorrow, then we're ready. Mm-hmm. If we're ready and persecution doesn't start for 20 more years, okay, we're still ready.
Yeah.
Whenever it comes. So, and I think we get ready by obviously immersing ourselves in the scriptures, obviously by being people of prayer. But I think one of the other ways we get ready is by seeing the stories of Christians who have already gone through persecution, studying their example, looking at how they lived through it, how they held on to their faith, how they were a witness for Christ in the midst of persecution. I think that's a key part of preparing our own hearts and minds. And I think, you know, when you watch this video, when you read the Voice of the Martyrs magazine every month, the natural question is, okay, what would I do in mm-hmm. that situation? I think that's a great question
yeah.
because that's going to increase our faith. It's going to force us to pray, Lord, I want to be strong. I want to be able to withstand that kind of pressure. And that's how we prepare ourselves for persecution. Like I say, whether it's going to start tomorrow or it's going to start in when my great-grandchildren mm-hmm. are grown up,
yeah.
We still need to be prepared.
That's definitely a question that I've asked myself as I've read those stories. You know, what would I do in that situation? And the stories definitely tell of the great faith that these Christians have, even as they go through, you know, the murder of a husband, the loss of children, the loss of property, and having to move continually in order not to be killed themselves. You know, what would I do in that situation? It's definitely a very something that comes to my mind quite often when I read those stories in your monthly magazine. So give us your website again and kind of where to go to once we get there for the resources.
Persecution.com is the main Voice of the Martyrs website, persecution.com, and the International Day of Prayer resources are right at the top of the page. You can click on that. You can download the video, or we'll send you a DVD for free. There's also a button there that says free magazine. If you want to sign up for the free Voice of the Martyrs magazine, just go to persecution.com.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much, Todd, for this great information and for giving us some tools to use for the upcoming International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. So you take care.
It is my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Take care. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.